I see you. Concentrate real hard. Be a 12-year-old.
Pie fight.
Ugh. It's not a pie fight.
Think it through. What's your mother got a job for?
Just in case.
In case what?
I don't
In case
know.
You fail. In case it don't no. work out. Yes, man. She's filling your head full of fear. I pump you full of strength. Because we're on a team, and I know you got what it takes. You're a star, and I know it. That's why I'm here. I'm your cheerleader, honey boy.
I'm going to make a movie about you. Make me look good, honey boy.
It's the Bull and Ross Podcast, episode 115, on a very special episode of the Bull and Ross Podcast. I'm Nick Rojas. He's Nick Boyle. He's also Mark DeSisto. Boyle, what did we just watch?
We just watched none other than what my quote was, honey boy. Honey boy, Rojas, give us a little bit of the synopsis.
Well, I'm just going to straight up take it from IMDb because I think this is the best possible way to explain a movie like this. A young actor's stormy childhood and early adult years. Really? Wait a minute. That's a – all right. Wait. Look, the phrasing of the sentence is actually really bad. This is why I read this already and it was really bad. A young actor's stormy childhood and early adult years as he struggles to reconcile with his father and deal with his mental health. That's not a real sentence.
Seems like a run-on.
Yeah, it's a run-on sentence that actually there's something wrong there.
You know what wasn't
there.
A run-on? This movie.
Very
this
quick.
This movie was very deliberate. It started out very hot. They jammed a lot into the first 5 minutes. And then slowed down, hit the brakes immediately, and then paced it so well from start to finish.
We talk about movies that overstay their welcome. This is not one of them. In this movie, just before we even talk about it, let's lay the quick groundwork about it. Shia LaBeouf, back in 2017, was arrested for public intoxication. He gets sent to 10-week rehab program. That's where he discovered that he has PTSD, and he's like, all right, I'm going to start writing this screenplay about my childhood trauma about his dad. And that's where this movie stems from. And actually, 2 weeks after he got out of rehab, according to IMDb trivia,
that's when they started filming this movie. Yep. I wanted to say that too, quick, before we get into the movie itself. Watching movies on Amazon, I really like the trivia bubbles and stuff.
Oh, so you were watching with X-Ray on the iPad?
Yes.
Okay, so what was that experience like?
Yeah, so like I have like the different streaming services I have. Like I could have watched it on Prime, like on the TV, but I chose to do it on the iPad just because I thought I could pay more attention to it and like kind of click around.
That's cool.
Do that. It's, with a movie like this where I was like, there's probably going to be, you know, it's kind of like loosely based on the actor's life. I thought there could be like, you know, little details and trinkets and like they do trivia stuff like that a lot.
That's cool. And I think they do pull a lot of their stuff from IMDb. So we probably read the same stuff.
Right. I like X-Ray. You can't really do that when you like stream it from like the TV.
No, because
I don't think you computer.
You have to pause it and that pulls up X-Ray. And then you'd have to, you know what I mean? But like, who wants to do that?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course.
Ain't nobody going to talk to that.
All right. So let's get into our thoughts about this movie without spoilers. I feel like this can kind of be a spoiler-free movie. But let's get into it. Boyle, what are your thoughts on this movie? You seem to really like this movie.
More than I expected to. I mean, I expected to – the only thing I knew going into this movie was it was a spotlight into – his Shia LaBeouf's younger years and some struggles that he went through. That was the gist of what I knew going into this. So I didn't know much. I clarified with Dave from Dual Redundancy at one point in the beginning of the movie just to double check. Like I was understanding which character was who. Okay, I got what's going on. But I loved the not just the plot and the story. I feel like we'll dive into that in a minute too. But I really want to give a couple pros right away to the cinematography done and the lighting and the way – what?
Go
oh,
on.
You're waiting for me to say the word?
Yep.
Do it. And I just thought it was beautifully done.
Everyone drink. Everyone drink. Almost as soon as this call said, I was like, Boyle, you have to describe this movie without using the word beautiful. Good luck. And I would have loved to have just seen Boyle go, it was good. I liked it.
It was really well made.
It was pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was, that counts.
sexy.
So, yeah. Boyle, but sexy. Boyle, you like the cinematography? You tweeted about it, Boyle. But what else do you like about this movie?
So, specifically the fact that this movie, like we said at the beginning, it didn't take any pauses. It hops right in. I loved that at the very beginning, so that you understood what time period was going to be. What time period? There was a 2005, and then a 1995, and they use Rojas. You're going to have to help me though. What are those actually called? I thought I wrote this down as a note, but now I can't find it.
The thing that establishes what the scene is. The clapperboard. Yeah, you can call it a clapper. Just call it a clapper, yeah.
The clapper. So I really thought that was so cool, the way that they used that just to give you a simple like, okay, this is what time period is. Click and done. Move right past. Like it was a unique – I love like little things like that in a movie that kind of is just different than what you normally see. Like, oh, the title's just down in the corner. Or the time frame's down in the year. Thank you. Right. The time frame's down in the corner. Like, I loved that it was presented in a different, unique way. I appreciated that when they were both the child version and his older version, when they were both going through dream stages, there were these intensified lights when he's looking at the glass and when he – like, it was very unique and dreamlike and
– I'm glad you brought that up, Will, because, the use of the lighting, like especially at night, or the darker conversations they could have, like dim lights when they're doing it, like it really set the mood for like the heavy shit that they were talking about.
I guess
sorry, you got to bleep that.
It's all good.
I guess just from a movie into this, I was more expecting an indie style film where it wouldn't take these huge jumps and leaps necessarily with different camera angles and like even one of the first scenes when they're walking from the motel room over to the washer dryer and that continuous shot and then all the way back to, but the whole time they're still having this conversation, the camera's still moving up to their faces and all this stuff. Like I was just like, wow, good for you. Okay, like, wow, you took that leap and you executed it very well.
Yeah, so, very intimate.
Intimate.
It was very intimate. Word.
Yeah, right, this movie looks really, really well shot, and I looked it up afterwards. It's shot on a mini version of some of the more expensive cameras, but that just goes to show you how good technology has become that you would not think that this movie was made for how little it was probably made for, if I had to guess.
Was it low budget?
I assume it had to have been low budget. I mean, if you think about it, they're filming in like five locations the whole movie. Motel, rehab center.
Location.
Yeah. So that's why I think like it's just amazing like how good cameras are that they could just turn this movie around in 19 days and this movie looks pretty darn good. Mark, you want to go into more of what you liked about this?
I liked a lot about this. I really liked Shia LaBeouf's performance. I thought he really stuck out. Same. And as you understand what the story is, you can tell that it's a role that really meant a lot to him, right? He's portraying his father, which, you know, the movie is, yes, it's titled Honey Boy. This is much more about his father than it is about him. I really did, like, you know, a lot of things that Boyle touched on, how they set the mood, the cinematography. And I really appreciated the intimacy of the camera work. It really drove the emotional points of the movie home. Well written. The dialogue at first, I was like, all right, is it going to be like corny? Is this going to be like annoying? But the dialogue really worked. They kind of stuck with it. They didn't deviate from their original plan. Shout out, Bodie.
This is boring.
Yeah, actually. I mean, this was great. Like, you know, there's a lot of good things about this film. They didn't do too much. You know, they stuck with the core main characters. There's not many distractions, right? They stuck to the main theme. They hammered it home, and I thought the ending was great. They wrapped it up
quickly. Before I get into what I thought about this movie, $3.5 million is the online budget for this movie.
Yeah,
that is very low.
Very low.
And it only made its money back, it looks like, is what I was looking at.
Yep, 6.8 million at the box office, which is good. I mean, if you factor in all the budgeting and everything, like,
Did this hit theaters or is it like special release?
It was in theaters. I think
so in 2 or 3 weeks. It wasn't out long.
When I was out in LA for Thanksgiving, it had just come out that week, and there were billboards for it everywhere, actually. And I assume that this had a pretty decent run in like New York and Los Angeles, but around here, probably not. To build off both your points, I really like this movie a lot. Shia LaBeouf, and we texted about this, you forget that it's Shia LaBeouf pretty early on, which is amazing. And
I had a question about that, so I'm sorry to interrupt. I'll hold on to that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because during the text, and I put a question mark. I was like, "What do you mean by this?"
Yeah, well, yeah. So I'll build off into that a little bit. I'm waiting to see him for the first few, however many minutes of this movie. I mean, it opens up with a montage, so you don't see him at all, and then it goes into the flashback, and you don't see him for a little bit. And then you finally see him, you're like, oh, here he is, Shia. Like, and then just the way he's talking and his mannerisms and the makeup that they did. Well, it doesn't do a lot. Just something about those glasses and the hair and the way he was acting and the way he was interacting. Like, you just forget that it's Shia LaBeouf. And you forget that we've basically watched this guy grow up, essentially, from Even Stevens to now playing his own father. I think that's really interesting, and all the baggage that we have with Shia LaBeouf over the years, I felt like kind of was in this role and in this movie as like a way of like, I know I've kind of had a messy life the last, I guess, for, you know, however many years since his dad, but, you know, publicly we thought like, oh, you know, he's in Even Stevens, he's in Disturbia, he's in this, he's in that. We kind of knew that there was stuff going on behind the scenes, and however true this movie is, yeah, this movie just is so personal in a way of kind of being like, this might be why I am, and I don't want to blame my dad for it. Yeah. I just kind of want to explain that this is where I'm coming from. And ultimately, I do love my dad. Although it does say here, I don't know if that was the intention of it because they didn't talk for seven years, you know, prior to this movie. So that was the one thing I liked. And Mark, before we get to you, I just quickly want to say Lucas Hedges and Noah Jupe, I just thought were great. Noah Jupe, who Ford v. Ferrari. And Lucas Hedges, we know from all the great A24 movies, always good.
That's right. And quick fun fact.
Yes.
My buddy, Fordham football alumni, is Shia LaBeouf's attorney.
Really?
So he's been like, whenever he gets in trouble, we text him and just like, you know, since he's been like, you know, he's like the guy in the background of like, it's like Shia, like, you know, like coming out and my buddy's like 2 feet behind him, like, you know, just sitting there like this idiot.
Can't believe he messed up again.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like he showed me some of his text conversations with him. He's like, stop doing anything.
Like, stay inside
the
house.
2017, when it was like the height of like all that crap.
Yeah.
He was just like, I can't keep this guy out of trouble. He's like, he's a maniac.
Was 2017 the year that we got him being in the art exhibit with the bag over his head?
I think that's when that stuff started to happen. Remember when he did the like the live
the movie theater thing too?
Yeah, it's just like it's just
too much.
I watched that all day at work. It was amazing. I had it up on my second computer. And I was just every time I'd look over, I was like, I wonder what movie he's watching right now. But yeah, that was it's like with child stars, man. We just don't know what's going on behind their lives. And here we are always laughing at them like, oh, look who like lashed out again today. And it's like, man.
Yeah, we're like, oh, Even Stevens. Like, what are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, come on. Get it together.
If you look at all of these child stars, I mean, like 75% of them go through like a really tough, dark time. I mean, him, Amanda Bynes.
Macaulay Culkin.
Dave Portnoy. I want to say that percentage is not fact checked, and the Boylan Ross podcast is not making any claims. Mark, let's go back to your point, because the only other thing I wanted to say was I really like how this movie pattern wise laid out. But Mark, you were going to say you had a rebuttal to me saying you forget that Shia LaBeouf.
Oh yeah, you forget Shia LaBeouf. I forget it was Shia LaBeouf. I thought it like painfully looked like him. I was like, this is Shia LaBeouf, and he's doing like that like southern twang to it, and it just like sat uneasy with me. Reference to an older pod like when we watched Jumanji, right? The second one. And Jumanji, yeah, The Rock is trying to be like Danny DeVito. And like that just didn't sit well with me. It just like didn't like work. And despite my complaints that I'm rattling off right now, Shia LaBeouf's performance was awesome. Like it was really good. It worked. I'm gonna say, like the beginning, I was like, oh, I'm not gonna like this. And then it grew on me. And it ultimately like landed home.
It felt realistic. Like, just some of his actions just felt very realistic. And all his arguments and disagreements and some of the stuff he was doing, you're just like, oh man, like how is he going to mess up this situation again? And right. I don't know. Boyle, you wanted to say another thing?
Oh, I got something quick.
Mark, yes.
What movie do you think they were shooting with that first scene?
Transformers.
Had right? to yeah.
I heard all the sounds. I was like, this is Transformers.
So I was like, no. It's like shoots back. I was like, are we going to get like an Optimus Prime cameo? Or?
What year was that? Was that 07?
I think so.
It was, let's see, looking it up, Revenge of the Fallen came out in 09.
And that movie was trash.
Boy, oh my God. There's so many Transformers movies that the first Transformers, 07, there we go. Yep.
I forget which ones are which. Like Transformers 2 was very bad.
And now they're going to redo all of them again.
Well, they should.
The first Transformers movie in 07?
Boyle's face. No, we really don't have to do it.
We don't have to do this. The first Transformers on IMDb, what do you think the rating is with 581,000 people voting?
The first 8.2. Transformers. The first Transformers out of 10?
Out of 10.
Probably like a 6.8 or a 7.1.
I'm throwing 8.2.
7.0 flat.
Wow. Yeah. It wasn't bad, though. The first Transformers was good.
But, see, with movies like that, for me, like they've got a ceiling. Their ceiling is like a 7. Like they're never gonna get like, you know, a 9, right? It's Transformers. Right. So you have like you go in with certain expectations, you're like, this is good, I'm entertained, but like it's not like amazing.
Right, exactly. Revenge of the Fallen, a 6 out of 10.
They did good with the
first one. Did I give it a 6 out of
10? Is that the second one?
Second one, people gave it a 6 out of 10.
No, that one was trash. That should have been like a 3.
Transformers Dark of the Moon, 6.2.
6.3.
Age of Extinction, 5.6.
Dude, they were generous.
The Last Knight, 5.2.
I gotta say, they must have paid people to juice up the ratings. Like, so, just had people log in and give fake ratings because no one liked those movies.
Yeah, no one.
I don't know. You know what, though? It made so much money overseas that they were just like, just keep making them.
Oh.
Keep making them. So,
I was gonna say that
Transformers nominated for 3 Oscars.
For Shia. What?
What? Do you want to guess them?
Wait, no. Say that one more time.
So Transformers was nominated for 3 Academy Awards in 2008.
Visual effects.
Yep.
Sound mixing.
Gotta be visual effects.
And it's gonna be sound editing.
Yes. Sure. Boy, you nailed it.
3 for 3.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh my God. Did not win anything because people were like, what the hell is this doing here?
I mean, yeah, like
literally, whose man's is this?
Just give him the nod. Yeah, like, let's just nominate him.
So what I wanted to bring back to, I'm bringing this back, get out of Transformers land.
Yeah, please.
So I see what Mark was saying with that you could still see it with Shia. And I actually took the thought of, like, I almost wanted to remind myself it was just Shia because, you know, there are many dads that are like that. There are many men out there like that, I should say, too.
I didn't even think about that. That's a great point.
And this isn't just something that was, like, back in the 90s. Sure. Back in the 80s. Sure. Today, still prevalent. Like, I think that the depiction he was doing – And I think I had tweeted – I think I just tweeted about it recently. It was because some tweets I'd type and then delete. But imagine having to be him and relive these awful memories. And, like, think about it. So it all stemmed from when he was in rehab. He had to write this all down in a journal and then make the screenplay afterwards. Like, the fact is that he had to then not only get all these feelings out, and realize these problems because he didn't see it as a problem at the time. But then he had to relive it as his father and literally put himself in his father's shoes. And I thought that was incredible and how tough that must have been for him. I thought that Lucas Hedges, he can nail anything out of the park. I mean, he's very great. Noah Jupe, I think we're going to see that kid forever. It's weird to me you used Ford versus Ferrari for him, because I would have used The Quiet Place.
I mean, recency bias.
Totally. Yeah, just because that was the most recent thing.
That's what ranked to me.
Quiet Place came out like 2 years ago. Though.
Yeah, man. Boy, you're living in 2018, bro.
Yeah.
Dude, maybe I need to live in 2018. There'd be no coronavirus.
Wow. Hey, that is our first mention of the quarantine. Yeah, cut that out. I'm cutting that out.
Cut that out. So anyways.
Yeah,
so
this is the first social distancing podcast we've done.
It is.
Which may be too late, because last week we were literally on top of each other for 3 hours watching Cats. So.
Right? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's a good point.
That might have given me an illness.
Yeah, don't say that word.
Not in this house.
Was like my in this Joker house, laugh.
In we this don't talk house? About yeah. Cats.
Really? So anyways, I just want to also give Shia LaBeouf the shout out for that. I think that this completely deserves an original screenplay nod. There aren't many movies like this that have – I mean, yes, it's about his life, and in terms of that's kind of why I could see it not getting the nod, because it's like, well, it's only Shia's life. But it's prevalent with many different themes that go on throughout it. Like we're talking about with a man figure like that dad who – was his boss and had to work for him and all this stuff. Like, I just thought that it was just so well put together, and I give him a lot of credit for then sharing that. And like you said, I think that it also it gives you a glimpse as to, all right, he's not blaming his dad. He's just explaining, well, this is where I came from. This is what was going on. You know, I was being forced to smoke and do this. I was, you know, and then I wanted to do it because of my surroundings. You know, I was, loved by this random woman, you know, that lived in the motel. Like, it was like.
That relationship was just, that was weird. But I don't want to forget the point that I was saying, like kind of the relationship he had with his dad, and how like powerful that last line of the movie was. Can we say that? Are we at the spoiler point?
Yeah, you can say that. I don't think it will spoil
anything. That last line when he, like, how do you guys feel about that? When he's like, you making a movie about us? He's like, make me look good. Like,
yeah.
You think he didn't look good?
I like the line a lot, because he's like, no one's mad at me anymore. And in my mind, it was a vision. An imaginary, but to go back to Harry Potter, Dumbledore famously says, just because it's in your head doesn't mean it's not real. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very important line.
I've only seen the first Harry Potter.
So. That, and you know what? That's fine. Because I think that's a very prevalent line, because I think that whether imagined or real, I feel like that is something his dad would say. And that's probably something he would want his dad to say. And I think this movie, I don't know. I feel like this movie is fair. You know, there's a few scenes where the dad's, you know, obviously in his AA meetings, and it's hinted at.
Those were the most powerful scenes, though. Like, you could see that his dad was, you know, had his guard up pretty much the entire time, and he had a sense of authority to him when he actually had no control over what was going on.
Yeah. He had intense inner conflict, and to the point when he's like, how do you think it makes me feel being here and you paying for me? And he said, well, and then the kid to look at him and go, well, would you be here if I wasn't paying you? I was
when he texted the group, it was just like, well, I felt the exact same thing. I felt like I got punched in the chest.
I had to go back and rewatch that scene, because that scene is so good.
Yeah, Rojas utilized the rewind thing, the rewind feature, just to be like, well, I need to relive this to get the impact.
Yeah, the time that the movie ended, and between us starting the podcast, I went back and rewatched that bathroom scene. Which
that scene was just awful. I thought that bathroom scene is probably number one, and then that AA meeting where his father is just dumping his guts out. That's probably scene number two for me.
Yeah, really liked the scene because it brought a smile to my face with him and the woman across the street. That scene where they're just playing at night, outside, and you're like, he's still a kid, man. You know
That's the thing. He's 12.
Yeah, and you don't get that he has a lot of other kids he's hanging out with. I don't think we see one.
You didn't see one other 12-year-old that he was hanging out with. Not one.
And that's the point, is that he just, like, it was all based upon his father wanting him to get the fame. And he wanted it too, but at the same point, it's like, you don't get a life. If you're going in this field at that age, you need to put everything. You need to practice every minute you get, even if you're up till 3 a.m. in the morning.
That's a great point, too. But also think, like, he's paying his dad to, like, hang out with him and be his dad. Like,
that's got to be a weird dynamic.
He didn't even have time to, like, you know, make friends or anything, because he's like, I have to, like, work. I have to pay my dad to be, like, my chaperone, while his dad is also trying to be his dad, like, be like an authority figure and, like, tell him what to do. But at the same time, he's like, without me, like, you're literally nothing. He's like, no one will hire you. You're a felon. He's like, you don't have like talents or skills, so you can't get like a real job anyway.
You're an offender, which was very interesting when you look back at the beginning of the film when he was like looking at the girl across the way and doing the hand magic trick, and I was like, oh, that's what they were getting at. Okay. Like, that, you know, that took
me. The joke he said at the beginning was pretty funny, too. I thought that. And then I always like when they refer to something from the beginning of the movie, like, you know, later on.
Yeah.
Like Chekhov's gun. Like, you can't show something and then, like, have it be irrelevant.
What'd you think of the rehab scenes with Lucas Hedges? Because that feels like almost like a different movie entirely, not in style, just in terms of storyline.
It almost ended up being the sub movie, like the subplot.
You think going in that that's going to be
that was like a timeout for me. It was like
it kind of slowed the movie down a little bit.
But like, you know, I didn't love his performance.
I didn't. It didn't build up the way that I wanted it to. Yeah,
I was like,
it didn't really satisfy me. And every time they would go back to Noah Jupe and Shia, I was like, all right, cool, we're back.
Yeah. I cared about Shia LaBeouf and Noah Jupe. I did not care about Lucas Hedges.
It just felt unredeemable. And I was like,
what's the point of this? I was like, why do we, like, I get that, like, this is necessary for us to.
Yeah, for a redemption.
Like, so we can go back and, like, see why he's there. But it just seemed like, I don't know. That was my least favorite part of a movie I enjoyed very much.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something, though. See, I'll counteract that, because I think that it was actually in the beginning of the movie, they went back and forth so much that it felt like an even movie. So you actually didn't know which one you needed to really, like, hone in on more. And the fact then you're like, okay, now I enjoy seeing the Shia LaBeouf side, you know, the dad and the son side of this more. And that was the direction they went in. But I took note that the transitions were very smooth. So in the sense of when he's at the pool and dealing with the thing with Tom and stuff, and you know, the stepdad, whatever, or the big brother, I kind of got a little confused there. But that whole thing, it transitioned to him sitting by the pool, Lucas Hedges, in rehab. And you're thinking like, oh, okay, so – this is the memory he's going back to, because in rehab, you have to sit there and you have to reflect on memories and understand things in order to cope and grow yourself and fix things in your life and come to a realization. And the whole realization, that's why they kept going back to Lucas Hedges talking to the therapist, was it's like your root of the problem's your dad and you're not seeing that. And then finally, when he did see it, he said, the only thing my dad gave me was pain. And she's like, but can I take that away from you? And it's like, so these pivotal things are showing, how did Shia get to the point of actually creating this movie, you know, and how did he get to the point of being able to cure himself of that pain? So I still appreciated those side things with Lucas Hedges.
A little.
I've got a quick point that I don't want to forget. Sorry.
Go.
Quick reference. Boyle, you know what? When he said that, like, you know, all his dad gave me was pain. Like, you want to take that away? Mm-hmm. That reminded me instantly of one of our favorite TV shows, Heroes.
I knew you were going to say that.
Remember? Yep. When you know, he takes, like, he was like, oh, she can't feel pain anymore. He's like, I'm stealing your power. I'm going to take pain. She was like, that was the only thing that made me feel like human.
Yeah.
And she was like, kind of like devastated by that. So I was like, oh my God, like, Heroes back again.
The only counter to Boyle's counter is that I feel like the pool stuff and the other thing, it feels too neat and cute just for us to be like, ah, see, pool, pool, So when it sometimes when that happens, I'm like, all right, like I get what you're trying to do here. It's a little bit too obvious. That's my only counter argument. Okay. I want to quickly say that this movie was nominated for several like critics awards and stuff like that. But I think the most important award that it won, everyone knows the Directors Guild Award. That really is a lead up to the Academy Awards. It's Directors Guild of America voting on this. Alma Harrell, she won the Outstanding Directorial Achievement in the First Time Feature Film. Alma Harrell directed this movie, not Shia. He just wrote it. And I think that I was like, that's a pretty big award to give out. And that means that the DJ was like, we recognize this movie quite a bit. Noah Jupe won a few awards for Young Actors Awards. You know, she's directed what appears to be some short films leading up to this and some documentaries. So,
see, you know what's interesting is it's a lot of Shia LaBeouf stuff. But it's a lot of Shia LaBeouf stuff. I just looked too. And like, so, it, you know, we talked about the motel being a theme. He's used that in Even Steven. Like, it was kind of interesting. He really took time to not only pick people involved in the movie that are involved in his life and in his past life, but also places that are like, that's the type of artist he is. And I've come to learn that about Shia LaBeouf is that like, he's very mindful when he actually puts in the time and the work. So it shows like, yes, did he have that spot where it was a cry for help? He needed help and he got it. And like, now look at the amazing things he's really able to do when he puts his mind to it. And I mean, look at Peanut Butter Falcon. I mean, that was
beautiful. Peanut Butter Falcon is awesome.
So I just think like he has a lot to come. We're not going to not see him anymore. Like, I think this is his new beginning. This is his second chance. Not that he needed a second chance, but like in his own mind, this is his revelation.
To deviate from that, who's like another actor that had a great like second wind or like a good change after hitting a lull? I have one that comes to mind immediately. Robert Downey Jr. He started off with a great career early on. And then he had drug issues, kind of spiraled out. And then, you know, his second wind started with Iron Man. Right? Then after he got Iron Man, he turned it around. Like, now again, got more work than anybody.
Well, that's a good, like, that would take me some time to think about somebody else.
What was that movie? It was like Blinded Me with Science or something. The one, it's like those two nerds, they like, It's one of my favorite movies. It's like some of those Weird Science. He was in Weird Science, like one of the cool
Weird Science.
Like,
yeah, he had a run in the '80s, man. He played Charlie Chaplin in the early 90s. He might have been nominated for
that. That's right.
But no, it's that's amazing.
The only other thing I want to say about the movie before we move on is the symbolism. Like, that was the last part of this that I really want to take apart. Every scene had a little symbolism of something else, whether it was the motorcycle with his dad. And then when he's in his dream, the dad's motorcycle's there. His dad being a clown the whole time, and he keep having those dreams of his dad. The chicken, the pieing in the face. When I saw those poster boards and the movie posters, I should say, for this movie, and I saw the chicken, and then I saw the boy with the pie in his face, I'm like, what is this movie going to be about? Like, I was so confused. And then you see it and you're like, oh, it makes you appreciate the movie poster so much
more. Did you guys understand like all the like references to his early career? Like, I knew he was in Even Stevens, but like, I didn't really watch Even Stevens that much. Like, my sister did, but I didn't really watch it.
I loved Even Stevens.
Didn't really watch much of it. Yeah. Growing up.
Like, what were the references to it? Did you, was it fixed?
It cut out at the end. I don't know what you said.
Yeah, hold on.
Boy, was it like pre-Even Stevens, the young 1995 stuff? I know technically 1995 Even Stevens wasn't airing, but they kind of move around with this timeline a little
so
bit.
So that's the only part I wasn't understanding, because I was like, is this
– I don't think these years were supposed to match up at all.
I don't think they were. And I think that was almost some of his earlier work before Even Stevens, because even at the end they were showing when he was with his dad, he was really young. And that was the thing, like when he was playing in Even Stevens, I'd have to look into it. Maybe there'll be a fun website to see the Easter eggs for it. But like,
Reddit would have it. I bet if you looked on Reddit,
in 1995, Shia LaBeouf was 9. So he's not 12.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, and when they showed the, when they showed the pictures at the end, he was way too young. He wasn't an even.
Yeah, this movie.
They mentioned him being 12 like 1,000 times. So
yeah,
we just have to look at what he was doing when he was 12 to like try to figure out what he was acting on.
This movie, I think, was purposely trying to move around with the timeline, his name, and other thing to kind of prove a point, almost as if to say, don't get too caught up in what's actually real about what I was doing at this time. Let's focus more on the story, because the story isn't just limited to me. So I'm not really looking into that at all, really. I don't think we're supposed to find anything with that at all. It's not like he did I think there's like little winks and nods to Transformers, but I don't think there's really supposed to be anything else. And that's not really something we're supposed to be looking for. The cinematographer, also a woman as well, and she was recognized for her work. I want to give a quick shout out to her. Her name is Natasha Breyer. She was a cinematographer for the movie Neon Demon, which if you look at the poster, you're like, ooh, that looks like something I want to check out. A lot of colors in that one. Guys,
just to say, not that I was looking for them, but I still think it's fun to know. So, like, there were some, and I'm reading about them, and I'll just text it to us later because I think it's kind of fun. But
say it.
Not that you would even understand.
You have to say it now. It's on the podcast.
Well, just that, like, you know, when he's wearing a few different things, like, I was thinking about it, and the whole thing when he's in the curlers and the you know, when he's dressed up in the bathrobe, like, that was actually something he did on the TV show. There was also another thing where, you know, I guess his character on Even Stevens actually hired a butler. So when the butler's rubbing him and stuff, like that was kind of reference to the movie, you know, to the show in a way.
Oh man, that scene was tough.
He was pied in the face a few times when he used to always wear Hawaiian shirts, which was another wardrobe choice for Otis at some point. So again, there's many more, but I like that stuff. I think that's fun. That like symbolism to me in movies like that, those little Easter eggs, I appreciate that stuff. So
quickly, we're going to give our scores right here. Mark, our guest, give us a score.
Oh, me go first?
Yeah.
So much pressure. I've thought about this. You know what? I really enjoyed it. I'm giving it an 8.3 out of 10.
Okay.
All right.
That was very good.
Boyle? I'll give my score.
Okay.
Go a little bit differently this time around. I was thinking about it, and there's a point in this movie where it kind of just got pushed over a slight threshold for me. It is a low, soft 8 out of 10 kernels on the Fisher scale. Boyle?
So I was kind of tossing it up, and that's kind of where I was leaning, actually, Rojas, but I'm going to go 8.5 out of 10 kernels on the Fisher scale and give it that 0.5 because to me it was really enjoyable. I would rewatch this.
We're all on the same page.
The acting to me, we are all on the same page. And the acting to me was similar to the performance that Adam Driver did in Marriage Story with Shia LaBeouf to me.
Not
as great, but to me, I want to give him the recognition of I thought it was good acting. And not every movie you see has good acting, so I want to give him that buff.
Adam Driver was not good acting. That was great acting. That was a tour de force of acting.
Hence why I said I just want to throw him out there. It's like, it was good.
You mentioned it in the same
sentence. Hey, Mark, this reminds me of Denzel Washington in Glory. Good acting as well, you know, just basically the same thing.
And then I would say, though, if it was an 8.5, I would round down to an 8, though, when you're actually going to come to scoring it.
So I think we suggest, and I'll speak for all of us here, I think we all suggest this movie to those who have Amazon Prime.
Check
it out on Prime right now for, quote-unquote, free, if you pay for Prime. It's free right now. So watch it there. So we got to keep it moving here because we're 40 minutes into this podcast
episode. Oh my God, big pod.
Yeah, Mark and I, we saw Warrior last night from 2011 or 2012, the UFC brother movie. Remember that one from a few years ago? It has Tom Hardy and Joel Edgerton in it.
And Tom Hardy is
Trap House.
Big traps. Yeah, big traps.
Nick Nolte nominated for an Oscar in this movie. And on IMDb, it is the number 158 movie of all time.
No way.
Yeah. Mark, quick, your thoughts.
You know, this movie is for people like me. It's like, you know, it's some meat house sports story, overcoming odds. You know, it's a great story. I don't have much to elaborate on this. Like, you know, I loved it. One of those movies where if it's on TV, you know, I'll tune in. You know, it's kind of like for me, it's kind of like the it's something like Gladiator. You know, you see it on, you're like, oh yeah, like, you know, this is
this
sick.
Scene.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, like, you know, it's on TV. I'm like cooking kitchen or something. I don't have to pay too much attention to, you know, it's, I really liked it, but I'm not like, I'm also not putting it like top 50.
My parents gave it a 9 out of 10.
I was going to say, I saw what your father rated it, and I was like, I could see that coming.
Yeah. I mean, you know what though? Because that man has seen a lot of probably pretty terrible sports movies over the years. So this one is probably better than that because this movie shot really well. It shot really well. It's not easy to film. I can't imagine it's easy to film hand-to-hand combat in a cage like that. I can't
look at Rocky. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Like, so this is way more intense than that too. Like, you got, this is kickboxing.
Definitely.
So mixed martial arts. So yeah, Mark, I fell asleep in the first 30 minutes of this movie, but then again, I've been on quarantine. I've been falling asleep all the time. Because I have nothing to do. So that was like, I was like, and then I had to re-catch my bearings. And it just, this movie didn't quite grip me in a way that I wanted it to. And I feel bad because I need to rewatch it at some point. So I just gave it a 6 out of 10 for right now. I will probably have to revisit this movie because there's a lot of the brother dynamic I just totally just missed on. And the father-son dynamic was just kind of like, what? I don't know what was going on.
To me, this movie was good, not great. So it's a B. You know, I give it like, I actually gave it an 8.6 out of 10.
Yeah,
strong. It's a very good, solid movie.
Very solid.
I thought they went there. It was a little better than what I was anticipated.
Oh, okay, like, nice. I will rewatch it. So
because I was like, this is going to be, you know, meat house slugfest. Like, this is what we're going to get, and it was a little better than that. Like, it's not The Fighter, but it was good.
I think on Amazon Prime, you could do a lot worse than this movie. So I think we recommend, if you haven't seen this movie from 9 years ago, check it out, right?
So as a person who saw it 9 years ago, I'm going to say it doesn't have everlasting effects, to be honest. I probably could rewatch it and feel like I watched it for the first time. I think back then I probably gave it somewhere around the 6 or 7. Just because, like, over, like, is it a good movie in the time? Totally. But again, right now, thinking about it, I couldn't tell you a thing that happened.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right. It feels very 2011, by the way, Mark. Watching it, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember when they used to make movies like
that
this.
I wanted to bring this up too, the pod, since we're on that, like, very 2011, I'm feeling. X-Men Origins was on.
Yeah.
The Wolverine. I think it's on HBO or something. It's on one of the movie channels. So I flipped it on, and the CGI, I was like, oh no, it was not as good as I remembered it.
Yes. It's kind of like when I rewatched the scene from The Mist from 07, I was like, oh, what?
Yeah. It's devastating that we're getting older. It's like, oh my God. I was like, this is not good CGI. I was like, I remember it being awesome.
I was like, this was cutting edge. And you're like, yeah, it was cutting edge 10 years ago. This came out. You're like,
looks, I was like, this looks like a Snapchat filter. Like, what the hell is this?
It's so true.
It's so true.
The movie is still awesome. Like, you know, it stands the test of time for a rewatch. But,
right.
But the CGI, I think this is way worse than I remember.
Oh, man. If you watch anything, like even TV shows from back then, man, you're like, oh my gosh.
Avatar. Yeah, I remember like Avatar was like groundbreaking. It's on Disney Plus. I'm like, this movie's like 3 hours long. I'm like, it's not that great of a story. It's not that good of a movie.
Mark, yeah. I'd be like, down to do that this week.
I'm not down to watch it. You want to watch Avatar?
You want to live watch Avatar and bash it?
I'm going to tell you something. I have it, and like, I know you can stream it on there for 4K, whatever. Like, dude, I have like the box
Blu-ray?
Avatar Blu-ray thing. Oh, yeah.
Boy, I'll come over in a hazmat suit. Let's watch it live. We'll record it, and we'll just like make fun of it.
Sneak off.
Dude, Michaela wants to rewatch Midsommar today, so I think that's probably going to be on the list.
Oh, you're sick. Yeah. Why would you do that? you need positive vibes.
I have to do it. Positive vibes. I'll have to watch something great after that.
So I quickly want to say.
Oh, we need to play the game.
Yeah, we got to play the game. I quickly want to say that I saw Some Like It Hot, and it's on the AFI 100 list of greatest American movies of all time, and it's number 22 or 27 on that. Comedy, Marilyn Monroe, Tony Curtis, and Jack Lemmon, who Mark and I saw The Apartment a few weeks ago. That came out a year after this movie. This movie kind of put Jack Lemmon on the map. I like this movie much more than The Apartment, whereas I think The Apartment was a little bit more ambitious than Some Like It Hot. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think some of the shots in The Apartment to me were better than this. Like, he was clearly like going for really nice cinematography in that movie. Some Like It Hot, very funny movie, cracking up, classic mix-up movie where two guys trying to get out of town pretend to be women to join this women-only band, and not for like the creepy ways, but just more of a disguise to try to get them away from the mob.
Right.
And hilarity ensues. And actually, I think it's really funny. And I think this movie probably had a lot to say for 1959. So yeah, it's on Prime. Yep, it's on Prime now.
Have you seen Sorority Boys?
No.
Sorority Boys is like the modern take on that. Yeah. It's like these guys. I've seen it like a couple times, but it's like one of those movies. Like, it's like a sick day movie. It was on like TV.
Oh, was.
You flip through and you see it. Yeah, it's like, it's a comedy, obviously. It's like, I think these guys, they didn't get into a frat, so they dress up like chicks to get into like a sorority.
Yeah. I think there's
It's like just as dumb as you think it would, but it's actually like, it's pretty funny.
It's funny.
It's like classic 90s comedy movie.
Dude, they did it with White Chicks. They've done it with...
White Chicks, it should be the be-all, end-all. White Chicks is hilarious.
Hilarious. It is the modern... Some Like It Hot. I don't know if they tried to attempt to do this before. And I'm sure that Three Stooges in some of their short films probably did the whole dress up like women thing and pretend. I think they did, actually. It's not a new concept, but I think that this movie kind of set a template.
They did it because
you have a lot of the classic, like, wait a minute, I'm here and I'm supposed to be up in that hotel room in like 30 seconds. Like, whoa, how am I going to do it? And come on in. Very, very. So I recommend it to AFI 100. We got to play the game. Would Cookie and Kristen like this movie? We'll do it for Honey Boy because we already know Warrior. He loved it. I think Kristen is going to like this movie a little bit more than Cookie.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yes, I think so.
I was like, this is going to love this. And I think Cookie's going to be like, eh.
Yes. Yeah. I think my dad would be like,
good. Actually, I think Cookie's not going to like it. I don't think he's
really
gonna like it.
I think my dad will say that Florida Experiment was a better version of this movie, even though they're kind of different. It's more of a mother-daughter. Have you ever seen Florida Project? I mean, Florida Project.
I didn't see it.
Willem Dafoe. It came out 2 years ago. It was way better than I thought it was going to be. Really, really strong movie. So yeah, we think Kristen's going to like it. We think Cook might be on it. I think my dad will like it. I think my mom will really like it. We didn't talk about Onward on the podcast, by the way. I'm just realizing that now.
Boyle?
48
Boyle
minutes.
Didn't play the game.
Boyle, you didn't even play the game yet.
I haven't had a chance.
No, sorry.
I think similarly. Hey, Kim. I think that kind of similar to you guys. I think that they'll both enjoy it, but let's not say that they're gonna love it. So I think Cookie's gonna give this one a 6, and I think Kristen, I can't even do that, Mr. Rojas, will give it a 6. But Kristen will give it a I think she'll give it a 6.57.
I feel like my dad's going to be a jerk about it and be like, yeah, this reminds me of a movie I saw like 20 years ago.
He's going to be like, it would have been better if Winnie the Pooh wasn't.
I've seen maybe like a third of the movies my dad has seen. Maybe half. So he's always got one movie from like, well, in 87, this movie came out. And I'll be like, well.
And I'll be like, this one's way better.
I'll be like, I didn't see it. Well, did you watch it on Amazon Prime? Because I did. So Onward, you guys liked it? I know we didn't talk about it on the podcast.
I loved Onward.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. I gave it a very strong 8 out of 10 on that one. It didn't quite reach the levels I wanted it to. And I got a little misty-eyed towards the end, but I didn't go fully over the top on it. but I really liked it. I liked Onward a lot. Very original. About time, Pixar. We haven't had one of those in a while. Well, since Coco,
about
probably.
About time. I was like, they every time they release something, it's an original.
Well, no, they just did Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
They just did Cars 4.
With Pixar, though, it's like they're kind of standard.
Coco came out 2 years ago.
I didn't like Coco that much.
Oh, I loved Coco.
Coco is low on my list.
Oh, Coco is like
Onward.
Towards...
Onward is up there. I really liked Onward.
Coco made me cry.
I gave it a 9.2.
Like a little baby. You give 9.2 for Onward. Wow.
I gave Onward a 9.2. I thought, even though these Pixar movies can get a little template-ish, it's like, you know, you kind of formulaic. I mean, they can kind of get a little formulaic. With their approach, I thought this one they did do something different. They had two the secondary story going on was pretty interesting, but I thought the ending really kind of hit home, you know, with the relationship of the two brothers.
Yeah, so sweet.
Like with the way that they made the trailer set up, like, you know, they think the focus is so that, you know, he can meet his dad, and it really wasn't about that. The end. It was a beautiful tragedy. I just really liked it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was creative. I thought it was good. I mean, it's not the best stuff, but these movies, like the bad ones, are like 8 for me.
Right, exactly.
Like, they don't miss. And like this one was really good.
So good.
I thought it was the messages were good. The relationships were good, and I thought that the family dynamic, like, you know, with more modern times, like, the family structure can be all over the place. There's going to be a lot of kids out there, you know, who grew up without a dad, and like, this is a good way for them to relate. Like, if they got a brother, you know, that can be like, you know, they didn't have to meet their dad. Like, you know, they had one along, like a father figure for them. I thought the message was that strong, that powerful. And it was just it was a good movie. I would recommend this to anyone.
Yeah, I'm Mark. I'm right there with you. I gave this one a 9 out of 10 kernels. I also thought that this one just struck gold. I think that it was funny. It was the casting was very well done. I mean, like, Chris Pratt was born for this role. This was his role. I mean, like, and then I loved the dynamic between the two. I loved that the older brother was the you know what it reminded me of, Rojas, was like Sing Street. The older brother's the nerdier one. But like, all the responsibility is on the younger brother in a way, like, and I appreciated it. I loved it a lot. And I will say that I, especially without giving anything away, and Mark, we talked about this, appreciated the ending.
Really, I like the ending. Great twist.
By making sure, I'm trying to beat around the bush here without giving away, but like,
it's not a typical ending. It was good.
Yes, without letting people get what they want. Like, all right, no. This is how it should end, because he realized something bigger, and
yes,
and how strong of a real thing that is too. A lot of kids nowadays can vouch
for me on this. I really like. I think a lot during the movies, and I like to predict where it's going, and I like to predict like what the events are going to be, and I'm usually right. And I was with my watch this in theater. I don't think I've ever been more wrong in a movie in my entire life, boys. I'd like whisper something to him, and it like couldn't have been more wrong, and it happened like pretty much the entire back half of the movie, I think.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, this means that, and he's like, all right, dude. And then, boom. Like, completely different. I was like, I am the dumbest man alive.
Like, there was great tension throughout this movie. At certain scenes, you're like, oh my God, go, get in there. And like those kind of moments, you're like, oh my God, get there, get this, get, you know. And
well, my it, part of the, my, the thing
way better than Frozen 2. It blows Frozen 2 out of the water.
Was that?
I'd say incorrect. Like slightly. I mean, Onward's a better movie. Yeah. No, Onward's a better movie than Frozen 2, but Frozen 2 was like, Frozen 2 was very good too.
I'd say
the groundwork, like there's a much stronger foundation behind Onward than Frozen 2. Frozen 2 is kind of like a cheap story.
I only said blows it out of the water just to see if Boyle would get triggered by it.
Always triggered, dude.
Triggered me timbers.
I did want to point out the last thing was just that the thing about kids, there's a lot of kids out there that don't have and this is the teacher coming out of me, that don't have the father figure. So to see a brother fulfilling those roles and
him realizing that as a character, like that was such, it was such a powerful thing for me to watch because I was like, this is real. Like this stuff happens and kids need, kids in that situation now have a movie that they can be like,
yeah,
hey, that's kind of like, exactly. Hey, you know what? That's like my life. And I need to appreciate my brother more.
Yeah, when that ending hit, I elbowed Boyle. I was like, oh, you SOB.
You did. They did
it. Yeah. I said the full term for the pod to save Rojas some time editing. I was like, oh, you SOB. I was like, they got me like this, like in the theater. Like,
we both,
you know,
we
wiping our eyes. I was like, yeah, I was like, you SOB. You got me with
Austin
that one.
And Maddie were next to me crying. And man, it was just sitting there next to my brother watching. I'm just like, that's my brother right
there.
Yeah,
we were like, yeah, you know, we were like bawling, but like, you know, they got us. So I was like, like, you got me, man.
But you said that out loud, and I cracked up. I was like, they did.
Yeah, it's like you.
Really cool movie. Really, really, just I love these kind of adventure movies too. And yeah, shout out to Onward, man. That's awesome, boy. What'd you give it for a score?
9 out of 10. I said
9 out of 10. And Mark, you have a what, an 8.6?
What movie?
For Onward?
Onward, 9.2.
9.2. Oh, okay. I gave it an 8 out of 10 for me. It is
thought you were going to trash it.
One day we'll do – oh, really? One day we'll do a Pixar.
Yeah, we thought you were going to give it like a 6. So we're going to beat you up.
No, that's why
we didn't want to tell you our reviews before we went.
We had to hold off our Letterboxd reviews.
Yeah,
so we wouldn't influence your scores.
I really liked it a lot. I liked it a lot. And
We actually all turned to each other, Nick, and we're like, even Michaela was like, she's the one who was like, you guys cannot say anything. She's like, Rojas will come see this and he'll hate it just because you guys loved it.
He'll bash it because we loved it.
That's true. Like, give me a reason to hate it. Yeah. We'll say this, though. The Manticore storyline didn't really – I mean, she got her arc in it, but it didn't really –
That was a soft box of an arc.
It felt like they were doing that storyline, and then two-thirds through, they're like, "Dad."
They could have done a much better job with that, I thought. I was like, they had something there, and they got lazy. They were just like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. She flies. Congrats. We did it.
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, that's an hour-long podcast, guys. Onward, like check it out.
Quarantine edition. Yeah.
More quarantine to go. If you have more movie suggestions for us, tweet at us. Jody Eisenberg. Actually, we did get a few tweets actually.
Dude.
About the movies. About the movies that we saw. Quickly, Julia did want to mention that Onward, she said daddy issues, and she gave it between a 7 to 8, which I disagree. I disagree. It didn't really feel like a daddy issues. It's more
you're
of
talking
just,
about Ad Astra than maybe.
Yeah, because that's a dad that he's lived with and he wasn't there for. There's no
Pacino is gonna coach Iona Rojas.
Yeah, I know, I can't wait. We're coming for him.
That's huge.
And it daddy issues to me would be if the dad was away ran away from them and got out of town. Yeah.
It's pretty evident that was not the case.
Yeah, he just loves his dad, but
yeah, he seemed like a really good guy.
Jules could defend herself on this take, but she gave it between a 7 and 8. She didn't like it as much as we did, and that's okay. So other people tweeted us about about Honey Boy.
She's dead to me.
Jody Eisenberg said she loved this movie so much. Dave from Dual Redundancy, aforementioned Dual Redundancy, said that he loves Cheyenne in this, and he wished he got more awards love, either for acting or screenplay. He does not hold back with his personal story, and by doing so, he creates three-dimensional characters instead of just caricatures of his past self. Yes, that's absolutely right. Everyone in that movie, in Honey Boy, has a little bit of bad, a little bit of good side shown of them, and that makes a broader – that paints a better picture, and I really liked it. But yeah, that's well said by Dave. And yeah, that's pretty much what I got. Anybody else have any final things they want to say?
Nope.
I'm good. We should probably do like 2 or 3 more pods this week.
Yeah, they're gonna be a lot of movies.
I think we'll have time.
Yeah. Do we have a preview for what's on deck, or should we save that?
Oh, Mark, I texted you that Amazon Prime only list yesterday. Should we move over
to
HBO or Netflix, or What'd you say? Yeah, I, not I a good mean, list.
I've got the logins. So come to me. I got that good.
I think we either check out something on HBO or Netflix next. The only thing on HBO that
HBO is pretty dry right now.
Aliens 2 is the only movie I want to see that's on there. I've never seen it before.
And Aliens 2 is good. It's strong. It's not as good as Aliens, but that's expected with a sequel. But it was still a very strong movie. Aliens 3 is when, like, you know, they go off the rails and it becomes garbage. But Aliens 2 is a strong recommend for me if you're into those kind of movies.
I will have to watch it. I'll have to watch it.
Rojas, you've never seen Overlord?
No, never have.
Overlord is
that movie's great.
I thought it was good.
But well, like, I was on a plane. I was into it.
All right. Well, guys, I got time.
Well,
like literally I was looking, this is how sad it's gotten. Day two of my quarantine yesterday, I'm just looking at Amazon Prime and I'm like, Lincoln Lawyers available.
You have time to like come out with a list for it.
Yeah.
We should probably look at, you know, what's available on everything. We got Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu. I got all the movie channels. I can rip whatever.
Yeah. So we're going to watch more stuff this week. Well, by the time you next hear us, we'll probably have three more movies under our belt.
Hey, maybe we should watch Train. I might say this wrong.
Train to Busan. I heard was really good. It's the zombie movie on trains. So it's snakes on a plane, but plane is a train and snakes are zombies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the floor is goo. Train to Busan. That's what it's called.
It's a horror movie, and it's like very, very highly reviewed.
It's on Netflix.
By all accounts.
Got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And Korean.
Also, the Terminator movies are all on Netflix right now, which is pretty
sweet. I've
seen
them 1,000 times.
I don't need to see T1 and T2 again. Boyle, shut up. No, I'm just kidding, Boyle. Thank you.
T2 is one of the best movies of all time.
I want to create a safe place where we can suggest movies to others and we don't yell at the person. So, Boyle, thank you for your suggestion for Terminator.
I like yelling.
Yeah.
I like yelling.
What's everyone got for food over the next week?
My fridge is absolutely loaded. I have steak, pork, duck, chicken, and frozen shrimp. And then a whole mess of veggies that'll probably last me 2 days.
I have so much like frozen foods, and I just bought some chicken too, so we could try to use that one of the days this week to mix it up. Pastas, cans of soups, cans of Chef Boyardee and SpaghettiOs. Like, I mean, I literally just grabbed everything I could. Everything.
I love that. I have a plant-based diet over here where I literally just have a giant sack of rice. I had Julia buy me 10 cans of beans. So that's two servings each, inside each can of beans, as I found out.
I love that.
And I have my TB12 protein powder, so I'm gonna be good, I guess, for I don't know, however long. We gotta kinda keep indoors. Although
we gotta wait this out.
Yeah. In Italy, apparently they have lines at the grocery store and they allow one person in at a time.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I have no idea what
leave it to the Italians.
I have no idea what we're in store for. So everyone stay safe, of course. And we're all gonna get through this, and hopefully the movie theaters will be vibrant again, and we can see some good stuff this summer. I don't know.
I really hope they don't delay Black Widow. I'm very excited to see that movie.
When's that supposed to come out? April?
May, like May 1st.
Oh, May 1st. Yeah, that's 6 weeks from now. Hopefully that the curve has been flattened.
We're never going to see New Mutants. That movie's just never going
to That is out. So funny that got delayed.
It's never there. I was listening to like camera pod too, and they were like the original release date was like 2018 or something.
The movie was made 8 years ago, like that just so comes good. To show you like
yeah
it's
like
ridiculous.
Arya Stark is she like still young. Like what,
it's it's unbelievable. Well, thank you everybody. Follow the show on Twitter at the BNR podcast. Follow us on Instagram, the Boyle and Rojas podcast. Give us some movie suggestions, we need it. Thank you so much for listening. He's Mark DeSisto. He's Nick Boyle. I'm Nick Rojas. See you guys.
Heck yeah.
Bye.
Okay, this is Cookie and
Kristen.
And we just saw
Onward.
Yes. Let me just start off before I start crying during this podcast review. Austin Rojas, if you're listening, Barley was 100% you. I love your spirit. I love you, kid. All right. Now that that's out of the way, let's talk about the movie.
Yeah. Well, I just see it as a beautiful love letter from one brother to another. You know, it's, I think anyone out there who has lost a parent, no matter how old you are, you want that one last minute with them. Just one more hug, one more chance to tell them you love them. And boy, did that get to you.
Yeah. You know? All right. So now you got me crying. Yeah, it's official. I'm actually tearing up here. But yes, I agree 100%. That movie definitely didn't tug at your heartstrings. It literally pulled them and ripped them right out. Yeah. And but it was beautifully done. If you get a chance to watch Chris Pratt on, was it Jimmy Fallon? I think it was.
Fallon or Kimmel?
No, it was Jimmy Kimmel. And you can learn the backstory about this movie. I'm telling you.
It adds to it. Yeah. You know, yeah. But it's fun. It's a fun movie.
Adventure. A little Indiana Jones homage, a little Blob homage.
Yeah.
Definitely the Wizarding World with the games and all that stuff. It's just a great story and great voiceovers.
Animation.
The animation was fantastic. I hope it's early in the year, but hopefully it's in one of the categories for Oscars at the end because it was such an emotional movie. I don't know. They have a habit of really doing these movies that just get you. But I give it 5 stars. I think it, well, no, we're doing this on the
Fisher scale.
10 kernels. Yeah. I thought it was.
Yeah,
so
I don't think there's anything really to gripe about it, you know, that wouldn't make it a perfect movie.
Adventure, comedy, great voiceovers.
And I say, give anything away, I don't think it was predictable.
No.
You know, so.
I thought something was going to happen and by some other magic. Well, I'm not going to ruin it. Yeah. Anyways, awesome. Go see it.
I give it
10. You give it.
10. We saw it in Dolby. I don't know that you need to, but no, it was
good.
It was great.
It was good.
Seeing it in the movies.
All right. We love you guys. See you later.
See you. Bye.